Good morning, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Nikki Zeiner. I work for Wikimedia Deutschland, and I will be your political science expert today. So we'll start with what is governance sort of in general before we look at our own governance. So governance really is the interplay of people, structure, and processes. It seems like a boring word, but it's actually a fascinating field, at least if you're a political scientist, and also if you're in it and you're interested in having your voice heard. So why do we need governance? It creates accountability around decisions that are made by a small group of people on behalf of a larger group of people. And where does it happen? It applies to countries, organizations, movements, federations of organizations, in any form really of group human endeavor. What is it? It's making decisions, and in our case, it is decisions that affect the environment in which you do your work as Wikimedians. What are some of the principles of governance? So the first one is participation. And that's really the idea of everyone having a voice when decisions are made. And either by being at the table yourself or sending somebody who represents you. The second principle is accountability. So everyone is held accountable to the decisions that have been made. Once they've been made, everybody has to sort of keep those decisions. The third principle I want to mention is predictability. So when we know there's a decision coming up in a group human endeavor, then we also have a familiarity with the process of how that decision is made and how we can get our voice heard. And then the last one is transparency. So the idea that decisions are made in the open, that the deliberation that leads to a decision is transparent and visible, and that what it is not is decisions being made behind closed doors, and we're told what happened. So those are just a few principles. There's other principles and elements like compliance and evaluation, of course. But those are the main ones I think that are interesting to us. Let's go to the next slide and look at how governance is sort of structured. Let's start with a country and look at some of the terms we're using here. So the highest artifact, so the piece of writing in many, many countries is a constitution. So the constitution really outlines at a very high level of language the rights and responsibilities of citizens. In a country, if you're lucky enough to live in a democratic country, you have an elected body, and then this body creates the laws on the basis of the constitution. So that's the next level down, is the laws that rule a country, done by the legislative. And then under that, in order to implement the laws and to figure out how we do everything together, our rules and regulations and procedures and things like that, and those are implemented by an executive body of your government. So if we transfer this whole thinking over to an INGO, and when I say INGO, I mean International Non-Governmental Organization. So the idea of a confederation or a federation of people and organizations that is international. The constitution becomes, in our case, a charter, but in some cases it's also called statutes, or sometimes they also call them constitutions, actually. And in our case, again, it is written currently by a drafting committee. And under that, we have policies. So the laws become policies. Those are typically done by a governing body or committees of a governing body. In an INGO, in a standard INGO, that's typically a general or a global assembly of all the members and all the stakeholders. And then under that, we again have processes and guidelines. So it's very similar. Processes and guidelines are implemented by the staff and volunteers and all the people in the movement. Let's take a look a little bit at the longevity of those artifacts. So the charter, like I said, like a constitution, is very high level. So you don't want to like amend that every year. It's going to be too difficult. So the charter will be there hopefully for a long time. So we need to make sure we get it right and take our time to write it. Also make sure to not put stuff in there that we know it probably is going to change. So the policies, on the other hand, you know, can be subject to changes. We know they don't work, then we will adjust them. And again, that's done by the general or the global assembly or committees. And then our processes and guidelines obviously should be flexible and nimble and changeable as things change around us. Lucy's asking, I'm curious about where you see strategy sitting within this model. We'll get to that, Lucy. I think it is probably more in the policies, although I wouldn't call strategy a policy, but I see strategy as something that a general or global assembly decides on. So, but we'll get to that in a minute. Next slide. So what types of decisions are we talking about? And maybe before we talk about the categories of decisions, let's talk about where do they hit, where do they impact? One of the principles of movement strategy is the principle of subsidiarity. So I explain that. That means essentially that when decisions are made, we try to make them as closest to the people that are affected, or make them by the people that are affected by them whenever possible. So if you take that all the way down to the level of an individual, you make your own decisions, whether or not you're going to edit Wikipedia today, or if you're going to participate in a meeting or something like that. However, there's also some decisions that are made by your community, maybe around some of the policies and rules that affect you as an individual. So as a community already, you have to come together and find out, you know, what works for everyone. Then we have the Wikimedia Foundation and also affiliates who also have their own governance systems and make their own decisions. And then we have the Wikimedia projects, which are largely self-governed and have their own rules that they apply, that they develop and apply. And then we have this whole movement thing. Next slide. So that's really kind of where we're missing right now, a decision-making body, a group of people that is able to make decisions for the whole movement that affect everyone and all those layers below, and make those decisions based on those principles that I mentioned earlier: accountability, transparency, predictability, and participation. Next slide. So let's talk about the types of decisions, so it gets a little more closer to your practice. Obviously, Wikimedia projects is a decision-making category, and I already said just now that that's largely self-governed. So that means the people from the Wikimedia projects make their own policies and then have stewards and administrators and all these different levels of people that help enforce them. Then there's affiliation. So decisions about who can be an affiliate, what rules do they have to comply with, but also sort of at a strategy level, you know, how many affiliates do we want in an area? And hubs are obviously a big topic we're talking about in connection with affiliate landscape. Yeah, Rob, go ahead. Technology decisions obviously are the ones that we mostly are faced with, sometimes after the fact, sometimes we get to participate. People tend to get worked up about technology when it's something that they don't think should have happened or should have happened differently. And then there's another whole decision-making category, which is strategy, Lucy. That's very important. So moving up from the policy level to actual strategy, and that could affect, again, affiliation. It could affect a region. It could affect the whole movement and technology as well. So strategy decisions are important, even though many of us prefer not to participate in them. And then finally, you've probably wondered, money decisions. So top left, how is the money coming in the movement? Who can fundraise? With what methods? According to which rules? So those are policy decisions, but then they need to be implemented. And then on the bottom right, how do we spend our money? So what is the movement budget? And who gets to decide at what level, how much money is spent on it? So those are just a few glimpses on how governance works and which decision-making categories are we talking about. These are not necessarily all decision-making categories that are at the level of that, the global movement, but most of them eventually are. So let's go to the next slide, and I want to give you a minute maybe to think about this. How are these decisions relevant to my affiliate? So if somewhere in the movement a decision is made on, for example, on money and how it's distributed, or on changing the platforms, or on who is an affiliate and who isn't, how does it affect you, your affiliate? You could type in the chat some examples maybe in the past or in your imagination of how these decisions are relevant to you as an affiliate. Technology changes have been tough for our members. It takes a lot of effort to open a conversation about it since they are by default against changes. Yeah, so there's a change aversion of technology users. Is that too? My affiliate organization might receive or give small grants, and this should be done in a legitimate, accountable, wise way. Types of money decisions when you grant money. So we also had a few suggestions here, but keep adding if you think of stuff. So in the money decisions, for example, how much money is allocated to my region? So if you're in Africa or in Asia, how much money overall of the movement pot of money goes to your region? It's a big strategic decision. How much goes to Europe? What are the rules I need to comply with in the reporting? How can I raise money for my affiliate? Those are some of the money things. Filmstuck says money decisions are relevant, how affiliates are funded, and how to ensure the funding is aligned with movement strategy. Technology tools and priorities. Does the stuff that my community needs get built? And then on around affiliation, can I become a member of a hub, for example, or can I become a member of seven hubs? Can I start a chapter or a user group? Z says add brand abuse as resource management in affiliation. Okay, so that maybe made you think a little bit about what we're talking about here. Okitanago says, my affiliate received a grant with Rapid Grant or General Fund, and it allowed us to carry out useful projects. Yeah, wonderful. So that was a good decision that was made. You made a proposal and you received some money.